Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Red Light Sports Rambo. I am Troy Otradovic, joined by the marvelous Evan Witalison out in the great state of Wisconsin. And it's a great state right now, Evan, because the Badgers are winning in the NCAA tournament, playing okay. Slow start, but watching through the game, they're doing some good things. You know, they're looks like they're hanging in there and have a great chance to win tonight. But how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well, enjoying seeing the Badgers winning at the moment. I'm still nervous about the game because Virginia Tech can get hot at any moment from the three-point line. So that's a little concerning. However, you know, Badgers are moving the ball a little better. That's something they struggled with during their drought, basically all of Big Ten play. Ball movements and moving without the basketball really struggled a lot. So they're doing better offensively with that today. But I'm still, you know, I still worry that they're relying too much on the three. That is why Wisconsin is winning right now. The three-point shots are falling. But, you know, as they say, you live by the three, you die by the three. And if Wisconsin gets cold from the three-point line, the jump shots like they were to start the game, I think they went 2 of 10 from the field to start the game before they started getting hot. This could be a very long game for Wisconsin. It's far from over. Playing better, like I said, and Nigel Hayes just got sent to the free throw line. Well, it should be an and one, but he's likely going to miss it. But anyway, with that said, you know, as I said, things are great in Wisconsin right now. Badgers are winning, and my brackets are looking pretty good right now, Trump. I predicted the and I have two in our Will Baker go home bracket because I submitted one by accident, so but I have two active in there and one other active in ESPN. And overall, I'm looking pretty good. And I did a Facebook Live video today talking about my picks and, you know, some advice and some tips. And basically, here's pretty much what I said. Notre Dame-Princeton, that's a 12-5 to keep an eye on. Notre Dame should win. However, don't be surprised if Princeton keeps it close and pulls off the upset. Notre Dame won by two. I said Virginia and UNC Wilmingham will be another one that don't be surprised if an upset is pulled off. And Virginia won 76-71. I believe they're down by 12 at one point in that game. And I, like everybody else, predicted Minnesota to fall to Middle Tennessee State. Middle Tennessee State underseeded, should have been seeded higher than they were. I think they should have been at least a 10 seed. They pull off the upset against Minnesota. And Bucknell keeps it close against West Virginia. So, Troy, lots of close matchups tonight overall. So, things going on Western PA. And how is your brackets looking so far?
My bracket, I'm going to say nothing. Because I'm not going to say how I'm doing. Because I don't want to jinx anything. So, I'll put it this way. Doing very well. But I'm not going to say anything. That's it. The thing with the tournament, Evan, is you look at it. We've talked about parity in basketball. And Kevin and I talked about it in one of the Go Big, Go Home shows, that when you look at the seeds, the higher seeds and the lower seeds, there is – it depended. We did the left and we did the right side of the bracket. And there's a lot of games – Evan, in this tournament where it could be a chalk pick, but at the end of the day, the games are going to be close. It's not like in some years where you're looking at this big discrepancy between a 3 and a 14 or a 4 and a 13. If you look at this Purdue-Vermont game tonight, I watched a lot of it. I like Purdue from the Big Ten. Of course, being a Big Ten guy, I want to watch Big Ten teams play. I was one of those where I picked Purdue to go deep into the Final Four based on matchups. But this was a Vermont game that I was very worried about because I wasn't sure if they'd even get out of the first round. Vermont is a very good team as a 13 seed, and they were knocking down the threes and kept that game very close. In years past, you know, you'd think a four is going to cruise by a 13. If you look at the score, you would think if you didn't watch the game, like, oh, Purdue took care of this team easily. Purdue, I don't even want to say they struggled, Evan. Vermont played a good game. it wasn't that Purdue was playing bad. Vermont played a very good game. And so I think what we see in this tournament is we see a lot of these lower seeds that they may not have the athletic ability and talent-wise as that 4- or 5-star recruit, but you and I talked about it on this show. You have programs that are lower seeds, that are mid-majors, that develop their players, and they're in the system for 2, 3, 4 years, and they play really good team basketball. And that's what you see tonight. Bucknell, you brought them up. Princeton, I was on the same boat as you. I didn't think they'd win, but I thought they'd keep it close. And I'll tell you what, they gave Notre Dame fits. They made Notre Dame play to win that game. Notre Dame wasn't just walking in there and saying, oh, we're going to get a win. Princeton made them earn that win. I'll tell you, probably the biggest surprise for me today, Evan, was actually the Villanova game against Mount St. Mary. Mount St. Mary did a very good job against Villanova in the first half. And then Kevin and I were texting, and I told Kevin, they're still going to win by double digits. Villanova will pull away in the second half. But my hat's off to Mount St. Mary for maybe scaring Villanova a little bit and maybe scaring them silly enough to start playing basketball in the second half. What did they get held to, like 29 first-half points? That's pretty good.
30.
Pretty good. 30 points.
Yeah, they just had a 1-point lead at 30-29.
Yeah, 30-29. And I, you knew it was not going to last for the next 20 minutes. I mean, they won by 20. But that part of it, it's like Villanova, you know, maybe wasn't ready to play. And that 16 seed, they went out and they really fought. So it's been exciting so far, even though some people may consider it boring because it has been pretty much a chalk tournament so far, with Xavier and Middle Tennessee State being the only lower seeds winning so far. There's still 3 games in progress. Iowa State has a commanding lead over Nevada, and I like that Nevada, that Iowa State's up by 13, but Iowa State's
hot
right
now. When you can't put the ball on the hoop, you know, you're not going to win.
Yeah, well, and that's surprising, though, because they're a pretty good team, and, you know, they're struggling tonight. But, you know, Iowa State, they're also putting the ball on the hoop. They've got 40 at halftime. We just talked a little bit about Wisconsin, and I think, Evan, the big problem in that first half is that Ethan Happ got in foul trouble. He had 2 early fouls. He only played 10 minutes. And so, you know, they didn't – you know, they kind of got away from going inside, but they definitely have to. They've got to get Happ down low. They've got to get the ball into the post. They can't live with that 3-pointer. I know they're shooting it well, but, you know, you mentioned it. They go cold, and all of a sudden Virginia Tech's right back in this game with a lead, and then Wisconsin's playing catch-up if they don't slow it down and go into the post. So, you know, that game right now is going on, and then we still have another game going on with Florida State and Florida Gulf Coast. I mean, they had a good run last year in that magical run, and they're trying to keep it close. Florida State's up by 8 with about 14 minutes to go. Oh, and then I forgot about Arizona and North Dakota down there. You easily forget about that game, but you know, the way things are rolling out so far on day one, Evan, pretty much a chalk tournament. And just 2 lower seeds that have won. We'll see if tomorrow follows suit. But I think a lot of it goes that you're looking at a bracket that has probably been more wide open this year than any year in the past. As Kevin says, no real juggernaut that's out there. And every team in the field has their weakness, and every team can be beat. So, you know, it's been nice, but like I said, I'm staying mum on my tournament bracket right now. I don't want to jinx anything or say anything. I know you had tweeted out the other day, pick against me, and that's still the truth. You know, whatever I pick against me, because it's only day one. So, but exciting. I mean, I love this time of year, and tomorrow is another day, and a lot of great games tomorrow to watch. But has there been a game today, Evan, that you really liked? I've watched a couple of them and really been intrigued. Normally, I'll put the screen on and watch multiple games at the same time. And then when I see a game, I'll turn it on. And I did that with the Purdue-Vermont game. And I've done that with a couple games today. Is there a game today that really intrigued you that you liked watching?
Well, there are a lot of games that intrigue me, but watching was another story. My work schedule, I didn't get home from work till after 8 o'clock. So I did see part of the St. Mary's game, their win over, I forget who they were playing, VCU. So I did see that one. But the one that I did really want to watch and ended up kind of ending in controversial, I shouldn't say controversial, but ended up ending in strange fashion in that Northern Vanderbilt game, where Vanderbilt pretty much gave the game away. They fouled, I think, an intentional foul when they had the lead, I think a one-point lead or something like that, and they foul and put Northwestern at the line to ultimately win the game. It was just kind of a strange sequence of events that made me scratch my head. But I have liked watching the Wisconsin game. Like I said, they're moving the ball better, moving without the ball better than they were. Unfortunately, the Badgers' same issues are coming up to light, and Virginia Tech cut the Badger lead to 2, and the big issue is they are 4-9 from the free throw line. 4-9. That is not good. That is why Virginia Tech, in my opinion, is likely to win this game. This is a game that I was pretty much on the fence on all weekend leading up to this game. The homer in me wants to pick Wisconsin, and that's what I ended up picking. But the basketball person in me was thinking, I don't know how Wisconsin wins. I don't know, you know, if they can't score points, they're not going to win. So, yeah, really Wisconsin and that St. Mary's game is the only one that I was really able to watch. But, you know, lots of good basketball overall throughout the day. And, you know, I'm not that surprised over the Villanova-Mount St. Mary's game, to be honest, or at least the start of the game, because you got to remember, Mount St. Mary's played already. They played, I think it was Tuesday, in one of the play-in games. And it seems like the teams that play in the play-in games tend to play a little hot coming out of the gate on Thursday or Friday. Even that 16 seed that had to play in to get in there, they get a little hot early on. But Villanova was able to pull away. I think, again, a lot of it has to do with the fact that they've already played, you know, earlier in the week. So, but anyways, NCAA basketball tournament action going on, but there's some football stuff going on too, and a couple things I wanted to have a discussion with you about, Trump. The Packers have lost 7 of their own free agents this offseason. 7. The Packers are supposed to be I think the only guy they lost they didn't draft to be a draft and develop team where they draft and develop their own guys and they keep their own guys there. However, 7 guys gone. So I guess, how can the Packers call themselves a draft and develop team when they're not re-signing their own guys? And then I guess the question's got to be asked, too. You know, the Packers with Aaron Rodgers has one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL and one of the top the NFL's ever had. You know, just by having Aaron Rodgers on the team, they're able to make the playoffs every year. But they won 1 Super Bowl under Aaron Rodgers, 10 years, as quarterback. That was 2010, Magic Carpet Ride. But since then, they've made the playoffs every year. But they've been bounced early, and usually it's been because the defense is unable to make plays late in the game in order for Green Bay to win. Like, you know, Packers not getting the ball first in overtime, and the other team scores and wins the game. And the front office of Green Bay, are they doing enough to get the Packers back in the Super Bowl? Rodgers made the comments that the Packers got to be more all-in. But Ted Thompson, to me, has kind of sent mixed signals by signing Bennett, signing Kendricks. Yeah, it seems like they're trying to make a run this year. However, they let T.J. Lang, Eddie Lacy, Micah Hyde, Jared Cook, and Dayton Jones all leave. And they haven't really addressed, other than Devon Howell, they haven't really addressed the issue of the other guys leaving. And they've, you know, a lot of free agents signing with other teams that could have been perfect fits in Green Bay. Is Green Bay doing enough to help out Aaron Rodgers in Aaron Rodgers' prime of his career? Aaron Rodgers is in the prime of his career right now. He's playing the best football he's played in his career. And it, to me, it just doesn't seem like Ted Thompson's doing enough. You know, Ron Wolf's biggest regret was not getting during Brett Favre's prime. He didn't feel he got Brett Favre enough weapons to help him get back to another Super Bowl after he went to two in a row. Do you feel Thompson and the Packers front office is doing enough to get back to the Super Bowl? Are they just wasting away another Hall of Fame quarterback's career? I know getting to the Super Bowl is hard. I get that. I understand that. Only one team can win it every year. But, you know, two Super Bowl wins and three appearances with Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers as your quarterback, to me, that's kind of hard to believe.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, you look back, and I know that people, we can look back on the Favre era and say, well, you know, Brett Favre did some crazy things. But, you know, you look at the Aaron Rodgers era, Evan, and I have concerns every year. You know, you got to figure out an identity to this team, and that's one thing I think the Packers have lacked for a couple of years. You know, what is the true identity? You know, you let Eddie Lacy go in free agency, fine. If you didn't want to pay $5 million a year, so be it. I didn't think it would be breaking the bank. But what are you doing at running back? You got Ty Montgomery there. What kind of weapon is that on offense? Yeah, you went out and signed a good tight end in Martellus Bennett, and you got some good receivers in Cobb and Nelson, but then you lost some offensive linemen. So there's so many holes on this team right now, Evan. I'm looking at them sitting there, and Ted Thompson can go out and say, well, yeah, I signed Martellus Bennett. I'm sitting here saying, who cares? To me, yeah, it's a need to have a good tight end, but you need to fill some other spots, and you have so much room under the salary cap. And I know you signed Devon House. Well, okay, I'm okay with that signing, but it's like you just sit here, and then now you're going to draft. That's fine. But are these guys from the draft going to be impact players this year to go to a Super Bowl? You've got a quarterback that can bring you, and I'll put it this way, Evan. Aaron Rodgers at quarterback is basically the reason why the Packers have a chance to make the playoffs every year, no matter how bad the defense is. So you need to figure this out. Are you going to be a juggernaut offense and score 40 points a game and then try to outscore teams because you don't want to do anything on defense? Fine. If that's what you want to do, then just do it that way. Don't hem and haw and say you're going to try to do things and try to diddle-dally around. Figure it out. Figure out what you're going to do to get to the Super Bowl. How do you have to get there? I don't think Ted Thompson is doing it. I said it in the middle of last year when they had the running back problems. That is not a coaching issue. When it comes to the roster, Ted Thompson is the guy that's putting the roster together. Maybe McCarthy has some input on that, but Ted Thompson has to do a better job. You want to talk about depth also, and, you know, offensive line. You and I talked about it before last season. There needs to be some depth on the offensive line. Where is it? Is Don Barclay our number one guy? That scares the hell out of me. So what are you doing there? He's not addressing the key needs to get this team to the Super Bowl. He's really not at the end of the day. Yeah, you signed your weapons on offense for Aaron Rodgers. You got Nelson. You got Cobb. Outside of that, you have to get better in other places. Now, what are you doing at running back? You're going to go draft a running back. Okay, you're going to have a rookie running back. That scares the heck out of me too, Evan. I know you got Ty Montgomery there. I'm still a little perturbed that they let Eddie Lacy go because I don't know what they're going to bring in. And I know Eddie Lacy, you know, people can say what they want about him. He had some problems. He had some injuries. He was overweight. So be it. But Eddie Lacy was actually playing some pretty good football before he got hurt. Not great, but pretty good. And if you give him another year, a prove it deal, I think Eddie Lacy would have done well. But again, he's not going to do well if he doesn't have a good offensive line. So there's so many moving parts in this, and I am a little upset with Ted Thompson right now. Yes, Evan. I think that when you have a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers, you look at what the New England Patriots have done. They do it a lot without a lot of all pros. So why can't the Packers be on that same level? I don't know why. It comes to the front office. It comes to decision-making. It comes to maybe the culture of what you're doing. So Yes, I put a lot of it on Ted Thompson, and he's not doing enough for the Green Bay organization to keep them as Super Bowl contenders. We've talked about this many times. Are we happy just making the playoffs every year? Because that's what the Packers do. They make the playoffs. Yes, they made the championship game this year, Evan, and I thought they might have a good chance to beat Atlanta, but it was pretty evident. Our defense sucks. Atlanta had a great offense. They tore us apart. So when you see that, Evan, if I'm Ted Thompson and I see that game, the next day I'm looking to see how I can improve my defense so that Aaron Rodgers doesn't have to score 40 points every game, because he's not going to, and he didn't do it, and he's not going to do it. So, yeah, I'm a little upset. That's all I have.
Yeah, and hopefully Ted Thompson's not done. See, the difference between some of these other NFL teams and the Packers is we don't know if Ted Thompson are talking to these guys or not, like Murray, who signed with the Vikings, or Hightower, who re-signed with the Patriots. You know, we don't know if Thompson has even talked to them. The Packers keep things close to the vest. Who thought Bennett was going to sign with Green Bay, let alone be in Green Bay? Julius Peppers. Nobody knew he was in Green Bay until he tweeted out the picture of him in Lambeau Field with the Packer hat on. So the Packers keep things close to the vest. So maybe they are making these calls, and guys just are choosing to go for the money instead of the opportunity to play with Aaron Rodgers. But they got to change. Now, controversial topic here now. And I got to ask this. And I just want to, you know, kind of get your thought on this. Joe Mixon, former Oklahoma running back, entered the NFL draft this year, probably one of the top players in the NFL draft overall. 6'1", 227, just 20 years old, turns 21 in July. And he's just a very talented football player. He made a very piss-poor decision back in 2014, where he ended up striking a woman in the face at an establishment. I don't know if it was, I can't even tell what establishment it was in the video, but in some establishment after she, got physical with him, and I'm not saying this to justify, he ended up punching her. And then he walks out. The video looked really bad, and it was bad. He made a piss poor decision. You should never strike, you should never strike a woman in general, but you should never, resort to, basically cold cocking someone in the face in general either. It's just not okay, man, woman, or whatever. But, it's never okay to hit a woman. And I think our longtime listeners know how we feel about that. Battery on women is never okay, ever. But the thing is, this happened back in 2014. Since then, everything I've read, everything I've seen about Joe Mixon, he has done everything right. He's changed, trying to help in the community, trying to better decisions in him. He's giving back to the community. And, yeah, he's doing that because, he got in trouble. But the thing is, again, this happened in 2014. He sat out the entire 2014 season, suspended the whole year, missed a year of football when he could have been starting as a true freshman. And, he got punished for it. The video just happened to come out very recently. So I think a lot of people assume it just happened. So they're trying to wonder why he hasn't been punished or charged or arrested or anything. But charges won't file. And like I said, he's been doing everything right since. Did not get invited to the NFL Combine. But he is a top 10 talent. So I guess the question, Troy, Joe Mixon, second, third round rolls around, maybe even the fourth round. Packers are up on the clock. Joe Mixon is there. Do you pull the trigger? Me personally, I say, yeah, I pull the trigger on Mixon. He's a very talented player who made a mistake. And maybe I feel that way because I work with kids who have made some tough mistakes in their life. I work in a juvenile detention center with kids that are incarcerated. So maybe that kind of sways my opinion on it a little bit. But the fact he's done nothing wrong since this very piss-poor decision that he made, I don't feel that it would be a risk. You know, he hasn't gotten into trouble since, and he's sane and doing all the right things. So like me, I would take him. He's a first round talent. And I know, football is more to life than football and whatnot. But to me, this kid deserved an opportunity to play in the NFL. And the thing is, if this video is never released, he's a top 10 pick. And people are pretending like it never even happened. So what are your thoughts, Joe Mixon? If he's available in, let's say, second, third, or fourth round when Green Bay is on the clock?
I would say if you've done your due diligence, you've done your background checks, and everything checks out, you can go ahead and do it. Like you said, the video came out, and I never condone, and you know this, Evan, I started a project when I was getting my master's degree that dealt with domestic abuse. I am one person that will stand up and support domestic abuse awareness left and right. But also, we see, and like you said, with your job, sometimes you can make mistakes, especially young kids. And again, I'm not saying what he did is right by any means, but if you take the right steps to truly understand what you did was wrong and you're going to make a change in your life and things have been good since that happened and legitimately are moving in the right direction, then certainly give him a chance. And you and I both know, Evan, there's some people that will do things and they're just repeat offenders and they keep doing it over and over and over. All signs point that he made a mistake, that he's tried to turn the page. And again, it's been three years. And so that's a good amount of time. I wouldn't say it's the tell all, but you got to do your due diligence. Make sure that, you know, there hasn't been any other hiccups in there. And the NFL does massive background checks. And I'll share an example. Those that listen in all the time may or may not know that my job at NHS is a staffing director. I work as a staffing director for a school, which means that we have teachers and they must be credentialed. So we do child abuse checks. We do background checks. And you have to pass those. However, when people are forthcoming about maybe something in their past when we do a background check, it doesn't mean that if something comes up that you're automatically disqualified from employment. Now, we want to take a look and we want to see what this is in their background, of course. But there are times where things come up and there's either documentation or something else or letters of recommendation, depending on what it is, that if somebody's forthcoming about what happened and can move forward and explain things that have happened in the past, I mean, there's certain things that we just can't overlook. I mean, and we don't overlook it. And I'm trying to just say that just because there's a flag on a background check doesn't mean that we'll automatically disqualify somebody from employment without having all of the facts. And so when you have all the facts, and you see everything that's going on, if you believe that that person can be a very valuable asset to your organization, whether it's football, whether it's where you work, Evan, then give them a chance. Now, will you watch them a little bit closer? Yeah, you certainly will, right? But in the Joe Mixon case, I think you hit it right on the head, Evan. The videotape came out years after, and so they think that this just happened, 2 months ago. So I'm with you. If he's available and you've done your background checks and you think that he has turned a page and you've done your interview with him, and I'm sure that teams that want to draft him have done extensive interviews with him. They've probably even contacted friends and family of him. And so if you feel comfortable, then pull it. It may cause some controversy, and you have to be ready for that media outcry. You have to be ready for the fan outcry. But again, at the end of the day, if you've done your due diligence, then go ahead and do it.
Yeah, and, with that, people make mistakes all the time. We're just going to end on that. And if we constantly punish people for the mistakes that they're made, how can they move on with their life? How can they become productive members of society when society refuses to give them a second chance? So that's where I'm going to end with it. With that, you know, we are out of time, so I have nothing else to add. Just hope that the Badgers can pull out and finish off the victory. They are winning, but it's taking basic heroics from Bronson Koenig to have them with 63-59 lead. So, you know, with that, I'm going to throw it back to you and let you wrap things up.
Sorry, I had it on mute because I am watching the game, and I just say thank God Bronson Koenig ate his Wheaties today, Evan, because he's sure playing one hell of a game. I'll tell you. I thought they'd go into half more of this half, but they're trying to live and die by that three. And thank God Koenig can shoot it today. But I'm still a little bit nervous with 7 minutes to go and only a 6-point lead. Just watching the Badgers as much as I can, I always know that the 6-point lead could evaporate rather quickly. But I hope you enjoyed the show tonight, everyone. It is Thursday night, which means that Evan and I will not be back with you until next week. When we come back at you Monday, a lot to recap, Evan, because the NCAA tournament first weekend will be done. And we will be able to recap some of the upsets that happened, and we'll recap all of the NCAA action on Monday night. And that could take most of our show, but we'll also talk about any NFL free agency news. And, Evan, I know we haven't talked much about it, but spring training is moving right along, and baseball is right around the corner. Even though the weather doesn't seem like it here, baseball is sneaking up on us. And so I want to try to throw some baseball talk into the show next week and start talking about some Major League Baseball. Maybe that'll warm us up a little bit. But hope you, again, you enjoy the show tonight. For Evan Witalison, I am Troy Otradovic. Have a good night, everyone.